From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
VOI listener, wherever you are, how are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo congratulates Christians on Easter. Vice President Maruf Amin emphasized Ramadan is an effort to control oneself. I'm Nugo Kusmawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news where Indonesian President Joko Widodo on his official account at Jokowi conveys congratulations to all Christians who celebrate Easter or Good Friday. In a post published on Friday and monitored from Jakarta, President Joko Widodo hopes that Christians will always understand the great meaning of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Besides, President Joko Widodo also hopes that Christians will use the values of sincere love, infinite forgiveness, and peace that soothe the soul as the inspiration for their life together as part of the Indonesian nation. Meanwhile, Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment Luhut Binsar Panjaitan also made similar remarks. In a post on his official account at luhut.panjaitan, on the same day he said that Good Friday reminded Christians to learn about love and sacrifice. Vice President Maruf Amin emphasized the importance of fasting, especially in the month of Ramadan, as an exercise in discipline and controlling lust. This was conveyed in his sermon at an iftar event with members of the Advanced Indonesian Cabinet at the State Palace in Jakarta on Thursday. The event was also attended by President Joko Widodo. Vice President Maruf Amin also reminded him of the wisdom and primacy of the month of Ramadan in the national context.
Yang paling sulit itu menghentikan makan minum.
The most difficult thing is to stop eating and drinking. These people do everything to eat, work to eat, nothing to eat. That's why in the month of fasting, don't have lunch. Actually, it's not about not having lunch, the meal is moving, so it's moved to sahur. So just to control yourself, well, I think hopefully we can all control ourselves as a nation, especially after the election. If we can't control ourselves, this will be disturbing.
Apalagi habis pemilu ini, nah kalau kurang bisa mengendalikan diri ini, ini bisa mengganggu.
Quoted from the official statement from the Indonesian Presidential Secretariat, Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani stated that this moment was special and reflective, especially after the elections and in the final year of the Indonesian cabinet forward, especially considering the worrying conditions in the Gaza Strip, Palestine. This event is a joint breaking of the fast, which was held again at the State Palace after it was last held in 2019. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto discussed and advised Singapore business people to invest in the labor-intensive industries. This is the statement from the Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia on Thursday, quoted by Antara. On the sidelines of the 2024 Indonesia-Singapore Business Forum ISBF, Minister Erlangga underlined the government's plan to continue to encourage the development of special economic zones in various regions in Indonesia, including special economic zones in Bali, which provide attractive investment opportunities for Singaporean investors. He gave an example hotels in Sanur that have been converted into hospital or health clinics. Meanwhile, in the Kura-Kura special economic zones, there are investment opportunities in the field of education and tourism. The Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs is still trying to find alternative markets as a destination for Indonesian palm oil exports. It was affirmed by Director General for America and Europe at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Umar Hadi, at the National Coordination Meeting for the National Action Plan for Sustainable Palm Oil Plantation 2019-2024 in Jakarta on Thursday. Currently, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs is trying to target potential regions such as South Asia, the Middle East, Africa, and the Latin America. According to Umar, the European Union Deforestation Regulation, EUDR, policy is the main cause of hampering trade in palm oil commodities in Europe. Besides the difficult process for the Indonesia-European Union Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, IEUCEPA, is another factor that is also hampering palm oil exports to Europe. The Ambon Maluku City government and the Dutch government are opening opportunities for cooperation in a number of fields, especially culture and tourism. Reported by Antara, acting mayor of Ambon, Boudewijn Watimena, stated on Thursday that the Dutch government, through the Dutch ambassador to Indonesia, Lambert Grins, had met him to discuss several possible collaboration to advance Ambon City. Some of the things that are the subject of discussions are waste management, clean water, and what is new is cultural cooperation, tourism, and scholarship for young people in Ambon City. Boudewijn hopes that there will be a follow-up actions that will have an impact on the progress of Ambon City, especially in the fields of culture and tourism. The Ambon City government and the Dutch government have signed a memorandum of understanding regarding the household waste management system in Ambon City. The program was motivated by collaboration between the Ministry of Environment and Forestry and the Ministry of Public Works of the Kingdom of the Netherlands. Let's move it on to the international news, where South Korea condemned Russia's veto in a vote at the UN Security Council, which blocked the re-establishment of the UN panel of experts monitoring international sanctions against North Korea. The vote follows accusations that Pyongyang is helping Moscow in its war in Ukraine. Reported by AFP on Friday, South Korea's Ministry of Foreign Affairs stated that Russia, despite its status as a permanent member of the UN Security Council, has made irresponsible decisions. The veto, which came weeks after the agency said it was investigating reports of arms transfer between Pyongyang and Moscow, drew widespread criticism, including from Ukraine and the United States. Ukrainian Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba called the veto an admission of guilt by Russia, while the United States described it as a self-serving attempt to bury the panel's report on Moscow's collusion with North Korea. Macron said the G20 must agree before inviting Putin to the summit. French President Emmanuel Macron said on Thursday that the G20 members must agree by consensus before inviting Russian President Vladimir Putin to attend the group's high-level summit in Brazil in November. Quoted by AFP during a joint press conference in Brasilia with the President of Brazil, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, this will be the task of Brazilian diplomacy. Even so, Macron warned that the division on the issue could derail Russia's invitation. Brazil, currently chair of the G20, opposes United States-led efforts to isolate and punish Russia for its invasion of Ukraine, arguing Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and the Western countries share responsibility for the war. President Putin skipped last year's G20 summit in the Indian capital, New Delhi, to avoid possible political humiliations and the risk of criminal detentions under an International Criminal Court, ICC, warrant. Listen, now let's move it on to commentary for today.
Today's commentary is on Israel continues attacking Gaza Strip. Since the Israeli military attacked the Gaza Strip in early October last year, Israeli forces have not shown their intention to stop the genocide, which has claimed the lives of more than 32,000 Palestinians. In the month of Ramadan, when the majority of Gaza residents who are Muslim observes fasting, Israeli troops continue to attack the Gaza Strip by ignoring calls for a ceasefire agreed to by the UN Security Council. The Israeli military continues to bombard the Gaza area. Dozens of civilians were killed and others injured due to Israeli missile attacks and artillery fire in the last 2 days, which targeted various areas of the Gaza Strip. Israeli tanks even fired a barrage of fire around the Al-Shifa medical complex west of Gaza City. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, when meeting a delegation from the United States Congress on Wednesday, March the 27th, including members of parliaments from the Democratic and Republican parties, said that his military action was aimed at putting pressure on Hamas. Netanyahu argued that it was to free hostages held in the Gaza Strip. The Hamas-Israeli war has forced 85% of Gaza's population to flee amid shortages of food, clean water, and medicine. Meanwhile, 60% of the infrastructure in the enclave has been damaged or destroyed. Under the pretext of freeing its citizens held captive by Hamas, Israel will continue to attack the Gaza Strip. It is certain that Israeli military attacks will cause increased casualties and suffering to Palestinian civilians, especially women and children. Calls from the international community to stop attacks have often been made, but Israel has ignored them. It is hoped that before Ramadan ends, a sense of humanity will emerge in the hearts of Israeli leaders so that the ongoing genocides in the Gaza Strip will immediately be stopped. That was commentary.
Well, listen, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on March 29, 1922, when the Batavia Philatelic Club was founded. The Indonesian philatelic community celebrates Indonesian Philatelic Day every March 29. March 29 is taken from the founding date of the philatelic club, Pots Zilverzamelaars Club Batavia. On March 29, 1922, stamp collectors gathered in Batavia and founded a philatelic club called Pots Zilverzamelaars Club Batavia. After the proclamation of independence of the Republic of Indonesia, the name of the association changed to the Indonesian Philatelic Public Association. Now we move to March 29, 2001, when Incheon Airport was officially opened. Incheon International Airport is the largest airport in South Korea and one of the largest in Asia. This airport replaces Gimpo International Airport, which currently functions as a domestic airport except for international flights to Haneda International Airport in Tokyo, Japan, and Hongqiao International Airport in Shanghai, China. Serving as a connecting airport for the East Asia region, there are at least 63 airlines serving flights to this airport. We enter the in history with the event on March 29, 2010 about Moscow metro bombing. The 2010 Moscow metro bombings were suicide bombings carried out by two women during the morning rush hour on March 29, 2010 at two stations of the Moscow metro. The first attack took place at the Lubyanka station. The second attack occurred about 40 minutes after the first attack. The second attack took place at the Taman Kulturi station. At least 40 people died. Investigation indicated the bombing was carried out by Chechen separatists. Russian officials said this was the deadliest and most sophisticated terrorist attack in quotation mark on the Russian capital. Well, listener, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Since day one, I knew you were the one inside. every time.
Makes my heart feel so fine.
Every kiss, every touch makes my heart feel so fine.
I'm in heaven.
In heaven.
I'm in heaven.
I'm in heaven, baby.
I'm in heaven.
I'm in heaven.
I'm in heaven, 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 baby.
Oh, I'm in heaven.
I'm in heaven.
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
In today's My Indonesia, Nusantara Authority to make wildlife underpass. The Nusantara Capital City Authority stated that the new capital city development pays attention to biodiversity. The example is to build an underpass for wildlife to cross. Director for Forestry and Water Resource Use Development of the OIKN, Pungki Widiarianto, in Jakarta on Monday, said that the wildlife underpass will be developed in the Kariangau Toll Road. Pungki further said that the Nusantara Capital City Authority cooperates with the Public Works and Housing Ministry and Environment and Forestry Ministry to build a wildlife overpass in preserving their habitat in the Nusantara Capital City. According to Pungki Widiarianto, both the Nusantara Capital City Authority and the Public Works and Housing Ministry have surveyed the landscape, including the animals that might cross the area. In a bit, to preserve the biodiversity in the Nusantara capital city, Pungki said that the authority also has increased the status of Balikpapan Bay from a cultivation area into a protected one. Besides, the authority also changed the bridge plan in the government center into a tunnel. According to Pungki, it was done because Balikpapan Bay is rich of its biodiversity, which thick mangrove forest and plays an important role in absorbing carbon. The Nusantara Capital City Authority on Monday introduced the Biodiversity Management Plan to preserve biodiversity amid the construction of the new capital city in East Kalimantan. According to the authority data, there are 3,889 species found in a 50-kilometer radius from the Nusantara Capital City. From the 3,888 species, some of 168 of them are mammals, 454 birds, and 206 herpetofauna, or reptile and amphibian, 1,369 fish, and 735 plants. In addition, there were 440 species that were in the red list of the International Union for Conservation of Nature. According to Pungki, the 440 species in the IUCN list showed that those species were vulnerable and threatened, so that they needed conservation. And that's My Indonesia.
I was on my own, speaking to the wall, on a 16th floor, feeling so alone. The rain starts to fall, then I wrote a song. The day's getting older, but I still have hope about a life that asks for more. It's hard for sure, I give my best and all. Life is like a war. One thing that I know, I don't wanna jump too far. So I keep flying up and high, keeping my dreams up in the sky. Nobody's getting me to the ground, but if I do, then I gotta stand up, up to the sky. Ooh.
as long as I have hope about a life that asks for more. It's hard for sure, I give my best in all. Oh, life is like a war. One thing that I know, I don't wanna jump and fall over and over again. So I keep flying up and high, keeping my dreams up in the sky. Nobody's getting me to the ground, but if I do, then I'm gonna stand up, up to the sky.
You're still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
In today's Indonesian Wonder, Miriam Faiza, listener, on a religious trip to Banyumas, Central Java, there is Saka Tunggal Baitusala Mosque, which we recommend for you to visit. The Saka Tunggal Baitusala Mosque is one of the oldest mosques in Central Java. One version of the history of its founding stated that this mosque was founded in 1288 AD. This means that this mosque was built before the Majapahit Kingdom emerged in 1293 AD. Geographically, the Saka Tunggal Mosque is in a valley flanked by hills in Cingkak Village, Wangon District, Banyumas Regency. Listeners, the Saka Tunggal Mosque measures around 12 by 18 meters and uses a lot of wooden materials. The roof is made of palm fiber. This mosque was named Saka Tunggal because it has a single pillar. This pillar is in the middle of the mosque building with four wings in the middle. This makes it look like a totem. Meanwhile, the bottom of the support pillar is protected by glass to protect the part that contains script that mention when the mosque was founded. The four wings attached to the saka or pillar symbolize the papat kiblat lima panca, or the four cardinal points, which symbolize fire, wind, water, and earth. Saka Tunggal also symbolizes that living people must be like Alif, the first letter in Arabic, which is straight, not crooked, not naughty, not lie. Not only that, the four directions means that human life must be balanced. Listener, the Saka Tunggal Mosque also has its own charm. The imam of the mosque does not wear thread covering that is commonly used in Indonesia, which usually is a cap, skull cap, but rather uses an udang or head tie. The uniqueness of this mosque is also felt in the religious traditionalism of the people worshipping in it. every congregational prayer is always preceded by praise or uro uro, which is sung like a Javanese hymn. The Sakatunggal Baitusala Mosque still maintains the tradition of not using loudspeakers. The sound of the call to prayer sung by four muezzins at once still sound very loud and melodious from this mosque. And that's Indonesian Wonder.
Thank you for still listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany.
Wai Rebo, a remote village in Flores Island, East Nusa Tenggara, Indonesia, has attracted world attention as one of the world's best and most unique villages. The village is located in the middle of lush mountain forests. The specialty of Wai Rebo lies not only in its stunning natural beauty, but also in the uniqueness of its traditional architecture and the life of its people, which is still very well preserved. The East Nusa Tenggara Tourism Office stated that an international media, the Spectator Index, has recently designated the Wai Rebo traditional village in Manggarai Regency, East Nusa Tenggara, as the world's second most beautiful village in 2024, after Rothenburg ob der Tauber in Germany. Acting head of the East Nusa Tenggara Tourism Service, Johnny Lee Rohi, said the Spectator Index released the survey results of some villages or small towns with amazing natural and cultural beauty. Wai Rebo is about 1,200 meters above sea level and surrounded by mountains. The number of residents living in the area is estimated only to reach 1,200 people. The village consists of 7 traditional cone-shaped houses, which are its own attraction. Wai Rebo has also been named a World Cultural Heritage in 2021. Previously, the island of Sumba also received the title of the most beautiful island in the world. The success of Wai Rebo and the island of Sumba as two of the world's most beautiful locations is due to sustainable tourism development in the province, which is related to community-based tourism to develop its tourism.
Adventure. I toss a disappear. Nothing can even prevent you.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voynews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's Music Corner, I'm going to present a regional song from West Papua entitled A Mambo Simbo. The song A Mambo Simbo is a song of joy. The beat of percussion instruments, voices clashing with each other, and the sound of the orchestra bring a joyful atmosphere. The song A Mambo Simbo is very simple, with repetitive lyrics. A Mambo Simbo tells the story of the joy of a meeting a father with his son named Mambo, who was previously lost. The father went in and out of the village looking for his child until he found him in the middle of the forest. This meeting is then celebrated joyfully with dancing and singing. When hearing the song A Mambo Simbo, invites those who listen to join in the atmosphere of joy. Here is A Mambo Simbo, sung by Edo Kondologit, accompanied by Erwin Gutawa Orchestra. Enjoy the song.
Oh,
Voice of Indonesia.
Mata saat pagi menyapa, oh dunia menyambutku dengan langit cerah. Nyalakan radio, temani ku cari info. Ini musim yang keren untuk menghitamkan kulit. Oh, sunset menanti, sunrise menunggumu. Yuk, liburan yuk, liburan yuk, liburan yuk. Yuk, ke pantai yuk, ke pantai yuk, ke pantai yuk. Ternyata pacaran tak membuat kamu bahagia, jadi lebih baik ke pantai aja. Hidup terlalu singkat, mari kawan kita sedikit nekat. Tinggalkan pacarmu, lupakan mantanmu. Sebentar saja itu takkan membunuhmu.
Pasti bisa.
Voice of Indonesia.
Bukan ku tak suka lagu cinta yang indah merdu dan mempesona. Aku ingin sesuatu yang lain yang membuatku tetap bergelora. Ku ganti-ganti channel radioku, ku cari-cari frekuensi itu. Selalu ku tunggu karena suaramu, stasiun favorit kebanggaanku.
Aku melayang, aku bergoyang, tak akan tenang, rock radio. Aku menari, aku menyanyi, takkan berhenti, rock radio. Dengar suaramu bergema lagi dalam hatiku, kau tak akan mati, rock radio.
Nada-nadamu keras menghentak, kata-katamu yang memberontak. Kau membuat jantungku berdetak, kau membuatku ingin teriak. Kau adalah tim pembakar semangatku, dengan setia masa mudaku. Kau cerahkan gelapnya hariku, kau redakan semua masalahku.
Aku melayang, aku bergoyang, tak akan tenang, rock radio. Aku menari, aku menari, takkan berhenti, rock radio. Dengar suaramu bergema lagi dalam hatiku, kau tak akan mati, rock radio. Aku melayang, aku bergoyang, tak akan tenang, rock radio. Aku menari, aku menari, takkan berhenti, rock radio. Dengar suaramu bergema lagi dalam hatiku, kau tak akan mati, rock radio.
Yeah.
VOI listener, now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.